You may start speaking now.
Hello, everyone. This is Veritable Virgo, and
that's
welcome.
Not scary.
Oh, I thought you were the master of the special effects.
I am, but you still need to speak spookily. Can you guys hear us in the chat room?
Well, they're saying things. Yes.
Okay.
Great sound.
Very good. Very good. And then we're back to normal. So this is your first show.
It is. And it's exciting and very nervous.
Are you nervous?
A little bit. It's just not really knowing what to expect.
Only the best thing.
I know. Huh?
Very cool. Very cool.
Well, couldn't ask for a better co-host.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Of course, my black cat, which is so appropriate for this show and this evening, is in the hallway meowing incessantly because I have the door closed.
Oh, the door closed. Hang on. I have something for door closing, too.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Oh, I had all kinds of stuff. I had creaking doors and wind and graveyard sound effects, and it's unfortunate that I can't feed that through for this show. But
next time, next year.
Yeah, lesson learned for next year.
Hopefully. Well, let's say welcome to our special listeners in the chat room. We have Nessa, we have Arthur, we have Dick Dastardly, Inch High Private Eye, Miblurg, Moose, Sater69 is here, which we will actually call him very soon and ask him about ghost stories. He has laundry to do, so we got to call him fairly soon.
Awesome.
Teaching Tom is here. Toppy Smelly
is
here.
Yay.
Whitney is also here.
Whitey, yeah.
Oh, Whitey. I thought it's Whitney. Sorry, Whitey.
We couldn't be so lucky to have Whitney here.
Houston?
Yes. And Tara is idling.
That's right. She's been idling for a while.
Yeah, she likes to fight with that X3 moderator. So.
Oh, exactly. So anyway, Halloween is also the gay Christmas?
Apparently, I'm learning that.
Is that something new that you learned from
The
Big Fatty?
I did not know. I did not know that that's what Halloween was referred to as.
Ooh.
Gay crima, isn't it? Crima.
Yes, crima.
Which I also think. I think it's Drusilla posts uses the hashtag of gay church, and I think I understand that now to mean that it's the gym.
Oh, that is right. I don't go there.
I did not know that at all.
Only some gays.
Right. Well, I pay for a gym membership. I'm just not very good at going to it.
Yeah, that's good. That's membership is good too.
It's half the battle.
Mm-hmm. I don't pay and I don't go. I used to though.
I should go, but I don't. Anyway, so Halloween is 3 days away.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of my most favorite holidays. I think in the order of, say, Halloween and Thanksgiving and then Christmas. I think, at least for me, as you get older, Christmas sort of loses, some of its excitement. Once I became an adult, it was like, well, okay, yeah. So now I have to buy presents for people instead of just wait around and get them,
Right.
So I think for kids, I think kids enjoy it more. But Halloween has always been something that I've really enjoyed. I've always been into the spooky movies and the spooky music. And at one point, very early on, I really thought I wanted to be like a special effects makeup artist. And
Ooh.
I was really impressed with the work of Dick Smith. I think he's still alive. He's like the grandfather of special effects makeup. You know, I'm not sure if he worked on The Exorcist. And then there was another gentleman, last name is Baker, Rick Baker. And he did a lot of I believe he did American Werewolf in London. And I want to say he worked on one of the Friday the 13th. There's also Stan Winston, I think. And I think Stan Winston just recently passed not all that long ago. And he did a lot of those animatronics for different types of, science fiction and horror and fantasy movies. So I really loved all of that, of course.
So Seder69 in the chat room says, yes, he worked on Exorcist.
Okay,
So
cool.
since he's Seder69 is so knowledgeable that we're gonna actually call him and talk to him about
Excellent.
ghosts and
Yeah.
stuff. So let me see if I can actually add him to the our
Okay.
conversation here. And I just want him to turn on the off the live feed, and hopefully he's done so.
And a few more people have
Hello
joined the
there.
room.
Hey
Hey there.
Seder69,
C'est
welcome.
moi. Moi.
Are you gonna frighten us with the impaler tonight?
Oh, that's the least of my scary things tonight, for once.
Welcome to a new show of the Pride 48 family.
Well, I'm so glad to be on it. I should warn you, only have about 2 weeks left now that I've been on it.
That's how it works.
That is very scary.
Professional casting co-host and show killer.
Oh, you're the Black Widow of podcasting.
Okay, well, thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
You will never be able to kill my shows.
That's right.
Well, you haven't had me on yet.
Oh, that's true. We're gonna have to try it.
So be forewarned, unless you really want to kill a show, right?
Right? I tried to kill my show a few times and always come back. It's too stubborn.
Oh, and Sater, you mentioned Tom Savini. I did forget about him.
Who's Tom Savini?
Tom Savini did a great he did the original Friday the 13th. He was
Yes.
he's the godfather of all the slasher movie makeup effects.
Oh.
Completely forgot about him. Yep.
So you both like the scary movies, spooky things?
Love them.
Well, I like The Nightmare on Elm Street. I like Halloween, Amityville Horror, Friday the 13th, the Psycho series, those kinds of things. The newer ones, like the Saw series, I can't even watch any of those. And maybe because they've just gotten more real and more psychological, you
Oh.
know? That kind of stuff creeps me out. And
Oh,
of
really?
course,
What? Okay, yeah. I
I
that's
know.
those are the kind of stuff that I like, but I'm too
Yeah.
scared to watch any of those.
Yeah, I mean, I remember in my youth having friends from school over to the house for a Halloween party. And what we would do is we'd all dress up and we'd go out to the mall and we would watch whatever the current horror film was. And it was at the time was either a chapter of the Halloween franchise or the Friday the 13th franchise. You know, we'd get all nice and spooked out, and we'd come back to the house. And in the basement, I had it all decorated with cobwebs, and you know, I had a punch bowl full of red corn syrup to look like blood, with a paper mache head in the middle of it, and things like that. And it was just a lot of fun. But as these movies sort of progress and really started to become more real and more creepy, it really started to freak me out.
So when did you guys start your fascination for Halloween?
Oh, I've always liked it. I've always been one of those, I've always been into science fiction and horror, mostly science fiction at first, and I
Not
think
the
that
horror,
eventually.
not the the big fatty horror.
No. I'm not even sure what that means, but no.
Whips.
It's sex.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't mind that either. But, you know,
yeah, but sex with Big Fatty.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
That would be scary, right? That required the sound effect.
Yeah. Do you have like a scream sound effect? Like a blood-curdling scream?
That would be me. No, actually, that would be Seder69 scream for us.
And now everyone is deaf.
I did pull away.
That's what she said.
I was just waiting for that.
Ba-dum-bum. Right.
So I do have that somewhere. I don't know where it is.
Mm-hmm. But I like Psycho. And somebody posted in Toppy Smelly posted into the chat room, you know, all of the Universal movies, the Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Dracula. I mean, who doesn't love those classics, you know? And, you know, maybe that's a loaded question because I'm asking, but I'm sure somebody hates them or whatever. And I even get a kick out of the Abbott and Costello versions of them, too, you know? So all of that kind of stuff, too.
It's all like... You know, it's thrill, it's ride, it's like like a theme park ride.
Yeah, I remember.
I started out in scary movies with one of your friends, John.
Who?
Godzilla.
Godzilla!
Oh, Godzilla!
I was hooked on Godzilla as a kid, and I lived about 3 blocks away from the Army Reserve base. So whenever they went out for maneuvers, they would drive right by our house. I'm like, they're going to go get Godzilla.
Oh,
they're
going to
go
get Godzilla. Oh, how cute.
I thought Godzilla was real for the longest time.
Do you guys remember the Creature Double Feature? Anybody ever? Okay, well, maybe that was just an East Coast thing. But in...
Oh, mind you, I did not grow up here, so I don't know.
True.
Yeah.
Let's see. It was actually... Well, a Boston affiliate, which is actually now like the WB or whatever it is, whatever they keep changing their call letters, they carried it. It used to be the Creature Double Feature, and it was on Saturday mornings. And Teaching Thomas says he's heard of it. And it was always on Saturday mornings, and they would have back-to-back those old campy movies like Godzilla, King Kong... what's the flying turtle there? I can't even think of his name.
Gamera,
yeah. The one with the three heads too. Was that Monster Ghidorah? Zero? Yeah,
that was Ghidorah.
I remember like, and then they had the Godzilla versus, was it Mega Godzilla? The metallic
Mecha
one
Godzilla.
Mecha Godzilla. Yeah. So yeah, I remember all of those. And they were like gargantuous too. There was like some kind of large furry creatures. And I remember the funniest thing was there were these two little like Japanese geishas on a mountaintop, and they're talking to it. And one of them, and I actually think they were joined. The creatures were joined somewhere in the middle, so it was like connected in the middle. And they picked up the two women, popped them in their mouths. And spit out their clothes.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, it was just the funniest thing. Yeah. It was like the clothes were the part that was disgusting, you know.
So you know what kind of scary movie I like? I grew up in, you know, a completely different culture and entertainment industry. So the scary movies that I'm used to watching when I was little were actually the kind of scary stuff that you're now referring to, like The Ring, Ju-on, that sort of really creepy Asian scary movies. And I've always loved it. And also, what is it called? Like somebody cast a spell on you and all sorts of black magic kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, kind of very like creepy.
Like a voodoo kind of thing.
Yeah, like a voodoo kind of thing. Yeah, but from Thailand, you know, like Thailand is kind of like our version of where all the voodoos come from. And it's very scary, very creepy, but I've always been fascinated by it. And also because of that, I'm also, you know, some people, I don't know if you for real, like in real life, believe in ghosts, but I am one of those people who I don't necessarily, well, I guess I do believe in ghosts, but mostly because I want to, because I think it's fascinating and I want to find out more about it. I want to experience it. So what about you, Vivi? Do you personally believe in ghosts, spirits, and all sorts of paranormal incidents, occurrences? Do you believe in those things?
You know, and that's an interesting question. I believe that the energy, the human energy, goes somewhere. I just don't know where it goes. I'm not sure that, you know, like the shows was like Ghost Hunters now that are on, that's on the Sci-Fi Channel and stuff like that. I'm not sure that I buy all of that. But when you, I mean, sometimes you, I mean, I'll be in my house sometimes and I'll even, it's almost like you sense some kind of a presence, even like from former pets, you know, it's like weird stuff.
So it's like you sense the energy, the presence of a certain something.
Yeah, like I'll be laying on my bed and all of a sudden I'll feel almost like something jumped on the bed. And I mean, I have cats now and I look around and I go, okay, there's no cat there. What was that? You know, and you try to put it out of your mind. It doesn't frighten me because I'm not afraid. If that spirit is here, I'm not afraid of that spirit. It hasn't caused any mischief. It hasn't tried to do anything else. Teaching Thomas is now Zombie Tom. So welcome, Zombie Tom. and the ghost of Moose. So they're getting creative with their names.
Very creative. Very good. What about you, Sater69? Do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in ghosts 100%. I've had too many experiences not
to. I love it. I love it. I live for ghost stories. And actually, last week, I've always been fascinated by stories like that. And in fact, I have my one of my many podcasts. I have a segment that I do once a month, which is to have my listeners share their ghost experience. And it's been very popular. It's been going on strong for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And every month we'll have a ghost episode. And so I enjoy ghost stories like that. And so I've never experienced anything myself. It's always been hearing from somebody else firsthand, but not like stories from somebody who experienced something. But I've never experienced anything until last week. So I don't think I've shared that with anybody. So I'm going to save that for later, and you just have to stay on and listen to the rest of it to find out what I experienced. But right now, I kind of want to hear what Sater69's ghost stories. How about the most current one?
The most current one? Well, I think the most current one I put on Toppy Smelly's The Smellcast, which he did a great job with. If you hadn't heard that, download his podcast, The Smellcast, and mine was a few episodes back. But the hotel I used to work at was notoriously haunted. Three or four different buildings had entities in them. And when I worked at the front desk, we had a ghost there that would often nudge or touch people. And it was just a very bizarre feeling to feel like a hand on your shoulder and to turn around, but there not be anybody there. And when I first started working graveyard there, I have this very wonderful story that the business about 12, it was a December night, it was cold. So I was had to put fire in the fireplace about every half hour, or put wood on the fireplace every half hour. And I went to put wood on about midnight or so, and I noticed that the lights in the business center were on. So I turned them off to conserve some energy. Mm-hmm. And about a half hour later, I went to put some more wood on, and I noticed that the lights were on again. And I thought, well, I don't remember seeing a guest walk in and use the business center, but I could have missed it. So I went and turned them off again. And about another half hour later, I went to put some more wood on, and I turned around, and I kid you not, those lights were on again. And I'm like, all right, if you want the lights on, they're staying on.
Wow.
Creepy.
That was the latest one, just recently?
That was actually one of the first ones.
On the first ones.
At that hotel.
Do you still work in the same hotel? No.
I've recently changed hotels about 3 months ago.
Oh, okay.
And sadly, there are no ghosts that I've encountered at my new hotel, but it's only 11 years old. It's fairly new. My first previous hotel was built in 1911, so it was pretty old.
Wow, it has history.
It does.
Very cool. So your first experience, how was your reaction?
No, I was fine because I've encountered ghosts all the time. I'm not going to go as far as to say I see dead people because I don't. But I've had supernatural experiences several times in my life. Starting, I think I can remember my first one at the age of 18.
Oh.
Was the first time I saw something.
Oh, saw but, something? What do you mean saw something? Do tell.
I catch images on the on this. Oh God, what am I trying to say? On like the sides of my vision.
Oh, I see. Peripheral vision.
Peripheral vision. That's it. I often see things, and the first time I had an experience, I was in a was it my great aunt's house? It was an old house, and I could hear what some footsteps on the floor above me, and I went upstairs and I didn't see anything, but as I started going back down the stairs, right at the end of the hallway, on the corner of my eye, I saw a man standing there. And then, of course, when I turned to look, gone. But always remember that.
You can make it out that it was a man.
Very much a very masculine, tall form.
Ooh, scary. So you've had experience then. So was it like normal to you, or you just never really think too much about it? I mean, I would get spooked out really badly if I saw that something like that for the first time, especially.
Well, you know, most of the time, I get a feeling when I get a supernatural entity, and most of the times, it's a very benevolent feeling. I've only had one instance that scared me because it was a very malevolent force that I was dealing with that time. But for the most part, ghosts, I truly feel, are just there. I mean, for some reason, they're not moving on. Maybe they have some emotional ties to a certain place, but they're just there, and you're sharing their space with them. I had an apartment when I had my first live-in boyfriend, and we had an apartment, and every night about 3 o'clock in the morning, the bathroom faucet would turn on and then turn off. And we distinctly heard this, and would go in there, and sure enough, the sink would be wet. And so I got some advice, and somebody told me, just talk to the ghost. Tell them that they are waking you up, and you would prefer that if they would try to keep it down while you're trying to sleep. And we tried that, and sure enough, it stopped. It was almost as if they totally understood us and felt for us, and that 3 o'clock faucet turning stopped at that point.
Wow. So do you think it's our culture, it's our, you know, our growing up, that maybe our friends or the society kind of taught us that the supernatural is weird, it's creepy, and it's scary, that we really, most people then become afraid of ghosts? Or is it just because it's so odd and so rare, when it happens, it's just surprising and shock you?
Well, I think there's two reasons. A, I think we fear the unknown.
True.
And this is truly something that is unknown. But I kid you not, every time I've had an experience, I've gotten goosebumps. The hair on the back of my neck has risen, and it is a creepy experience.
Okay.
So I think it is our bodies. I think it's instinctual to our body to be kind of creeped out about it.
I would agree. I remember the basement in my house, and the house is not really all that old. It's maybe like 30, 35 years old. And the basement used to have a lot of clutter in it. And I remember always going down there, and it was just very spooky and very creepy. And if I turned around a certain way, I always had this feeling like there was something watching me.
Ew.
And yeah, and it would literally make the hairs on the back of my neck, stand up. And I'm like, and I don't get spooked easily, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, what is that feeling? You know, when you just feel like something's watching you, or there's a potential that there's almost like there's some potential for threat there, you know, and and the basement always had a lot of cobwebs. I mean, I'm talking like real cobwebs, because it was damp and, you know, and dark. And so the spiders had a field day down there. And that's one of my creepy areas, too, is I like a lot of things in the movies, and I like all kinds of special effects stuff. But I don't like spiders.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't like spiders because I can't. I can't keep track of them. You know, it's like I was doing laundry the other day and this daddy long leg just descends right in front of my face, like within inches of my face. And I was like, oh my God.
I know, that's just this morning. Just this morning, I don't know where it came from. I was walking into work, and as I was approaching my desk, I felt this thing crawling on my... I was holding my iPhone, checking my email, mm-hmm. And then I felt something crawling from my sleeve to the back of my hand. And then I turn over and see, and it was like the spider was like a size of a quarter. It was huge.
Oh, no.
And I just smack it, and I didn't scream. I almost did. I smacked it down, and then I hit it with the box, and then it was like flat. I killed it. I was very proud.
I mean, a few weeks, was it like maybe a week ago, we were all teasing Drew Ray G about spiders because I don't know if he had he had spiders that crawled in his bed or something and freaked him out and he couldn't get to sleep or something like that. And I'll tell you, you know, I so identify with that because one time I'd been out with friends, came home. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. And I, you know, pull back the covers to the bed and I see this little black thing scurry across the sheets, right? And you can't miss that. There's a little black furry thing running across the white sheets. And I'm like, ugh. Okay, what was that? And now I can't sleep. I ripped apart the bed. Of course, everybody in the house is sleeping at the time. And I'm like, so I have to be quiet. But now I can't sleep. And I won't. I passed out. That's the only way I fell asleep. I was completely exhausted and I fell asleep because otherwise I would have just been looking for that spider all night. And actually, the reality is the spider is probably much more afraid of us than we are of it because of the size difference. But we humans tend to get a little crazy with the little spiders that you can't find after they run across the bed.
Yeah, I don't like spiders.
But talk a little bit about the the fascination around like special effects, makeup, and so forth. I mean, I did some theater work maybe about 10 years ago or so, and I did some acting. I did local community theater kind of thing, would help out with set building and so forth. But I also did some of the makeup. So, and I remember they did a production of is it Death Trap? Is that the one mm-hmm. with Michael Caine and wasn't it Christopher Reeve?
Yep, Death Trap. Great three-person play, four-person play.
Yes, and I remember my friend at the time was playing the Christopher Reeve role, and so obviously he gets attacked with, I believe it's called a garrote.
Yep.
So when you pull it around the neck and you strangle him, and then it has to make this rather noticeable neck wound. So... And I had been playing around with different ways to make the neck appliance so it could be quickly applied to him because he had literally had a short amount of time to run off the stage, get down to the makeup room, get the neck appliance put on, make it look like he had been buried and come back up out of the ground. So, and sort of studying the work of Dick Smith and Tom Savini and Rick Baker and all those people, and so I had. I had like liquid latex, so I literally took a sheet of wax paper, and I made because the show was on like for 4 nights, and I made 4 or 5 lines of liquid latex, and then I took the derma wax, which is something I understand. I don't know if they still do, but morticians would use that on the corpses to sort of fix any wounds and so forth and cover it up. So then
it's
you
like a putty wax.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's called derma wax, and it's usually neutral, so it's not colored, although they do have some tinting that you can buy. You get it like tinted like flesh or darker tones or lighter tones. So you take a little ball of that, and then I sort of make a long string, and you put that on the line of liquid latex that I sort of build up. So it's like 3 or 4 passes of the latex, so it has a base or a foundation. I guess in professionally they'd use some kind of maybe like a lacing or something to give it some rigidity or some structure. Yeah. And then so you put that on there, and then you sort of smooth it out, and then you sort of like cut down the middle to make it where it looks going to look like the incision, and then you use little tools and you kind of move it along so it looks like it's sort of like ripped flesh and stuff like that, and then you seal it with some more latex, a couple more layers of latex.
And the kiss.
Right. And then you want to color it red, or you like put like a mixture of red and black makeup in there so it really looks like a deep wound. And then a trick was you take red food coloring and you mix it with peanut butter and you sort of paint it in there because the peanut butter is thick. And then when you apply it, then you take spirit gum. When you're going to use it, you take spirit gum and you put it on the back and then you quickly apply it to the neck. And if you pour stage blood in there, and a lot of times I wouldn't use the stage blood. I would just use corn syrup mixed with red food coloring.
Yeah.
And then you can mix a little bit of vodka in there. And what that does is you can then refrigerate it and it prevents it from freezing. Or you could actually throw it in the freezer too because the alcohol content would prevent it from freezing. And then so you squirt the blood in there and then you have the person lean forward. And then you quickly hit it with some really cheap hairspray like Aquanet or whatever.
Oh.
And it literally freezes the blood as it's dripping.
Ooh, that's a good tip.
Yeah, and then you throw sort of like they have it's actually like dirt powder kind of thing. It's the theatrical stuff. I'm trying to think the name of it now. Is it Ben Stein's theatrical makeup?
Benine.
Right. And I used to get some of those things up in Boston. You can buy them online just about anywhere now. But it's not like the crap they sell at Walmart for Halloween for the kids to put on. This is professional grade makeup supplies. And so this person for the death trap role had to have all of that done in probably a span of about 10 minutes and made to look like he had just come back up out of the ground because of the whole point of it being the ruse to sort of move the story along.
Spoilers.
I'm sorry. like, hello, if anybody's not seen Death Trap by now.
They won't see it now.
Right. So, and I remember him telling me, "Oh, wow! That every time I put that thing on his neck, he wanted to throw up." You know,
because it's so gross, or is it choking him?
No, it looked so real. You know, and because the whole thing is what the audience sees is him being dragged off the stage with the garrote around his neck by the Michael Caine character, and the next time you see him, he's covered in dirt, and he's got this neck wound with blood dripping out of it. So it was a lot of fun, and of course I get into that piece of it. At one point I also had to do I had to make like a blood pouch that stayed inside someone's shirt so that when the stage prop gun went off and they grabbed their chest, it popped the pouch and the blood squirted out all under the shirt and everything. So
today I just heard on NPR that you could add besides food coloring red and corn syrup, if you mix in with a little bit of cocoa powder, it makes it a little cloudy and a little more like
that's
blood.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And it's also delicious.
Yeah.
Especially with vodka. That's how that's why we have vampire, because they like vodka.
Right. Absolutely. Nothing better than a drunk vampire, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny when you mention vampire because, obviously Hollywood is insane with vampires right now.
Yeah.
It's the latest trend that they're just dumping on us in massive quantities. But I was looking at the calendar that I had at work today, and it's sort of one of those green things, it's like it tells you how to save gas by taking all the crap out of the trunk of your car and so forth and so on. So I looked down and today's thing says vampire load. So obviously they, and it's not what you think, people.
Seder 69.
I heard a little snicker. And it was...
My vampire fleshlight gets a vampire load.
It was... It's a reference to the energy draw of appliances when they're plugged in but not in use.
And I see, yes.
Never heard of it being referred to in that way. But it makes sense.
Yeah.
So
just silently sucking out your energy.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I need to get going because my buzzer just went off. I need to pull a big Ricky and go get my laundry.
Are you
going to
come back?
Would you like me to come back?
Yes.
Sure.
Well, tell you what. Let me go grab my laundry from the laundry room. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
So let's see. Let's talk about scary stuff.
Scary stuff.
Like what you said, they did nothing much really scare you. Like, do you have any phobia? Are you afraid of anything?
I have phobias.
Exams?
Oh, I well, I don't like, I don't like tests. I have always had test anxiety, and as a result, never sort of don't do well at them, you know? So they're not a good measure of my abilities in a number of areas. So yeah, I guess that would be a fear or a phobia, you
Fear,
know?
yeah. Look, somebody in the chat room said, what is it? I can't see it.
Where?
Idiophantasmic says
Oh.
worms, caterpillars, maggots. Are you afraid of those things?
Worms are disgusting, but they don't freak me out.
What if you accidentally, like, a worm fall on your neck? How would you react?
Like a little girl? No, I don't like. All right, this is one. I don't like any kind of bugs or insects in my car
Okay, yes, that's very scary.
because, it's a confined space, and of course, it's usually happening when you're driving. So, when I'm driving down the highway and I look and there's a yellow jacket in my car, and I'm like, okay, we
What do
need
you
to
do?
get you out of the car as quickly as possible,
Yep.
and of course spiders in the car. Well, that's a no-brainer.
I grew up in Malaysia in a tropical country, and so it was geckos scares me. Geckos scare me. Like, I think I have a phobia. It's just not it. I'm not. It creeps me out and it scares me to the like I would completely react so stupidly that it's irrational because I know it's not gonna hurt me, but I would react huge. And so those are the things. And we have a lot of the, just like in Florida, you have geckos everywhere running around. When I was in Florida one time, I saw so many on the ground walking around that I got so scared. I was just hopping and jumping up and down, trying to eliminate my moments on the ground, trying to fly. And it was scary. So yeah, lizards, anything small lizards. If it's iguana, I'm not afraid of it. It's anything gecko size. Oh,
Like the one from the Geico commercials? Is that the
yeah.
same thing you're talking about?
Yeah, yes, that size, but not that particular character. But
Not that
yeah, that size, yes, very
one.
scary to me, especially when it's not the green one, the brown one. Oh,
Racist.
what, rapists?
Racist. Racist.
Oh, yes, exactly. The Mexican lizards. Oh my gosh, I'm afraid of.
Okay, so now, all right, so Tara says in the chat room that she put down the visor in her car and a spider fell onto her lap. Yeah, I think that would have done it for me that day. Cancel all the errands, I'm going back to bed.
P comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So spooky smelly for just for this particular show said that I'm also have problem with cicadas. I don't have problem with cicadas. I have problem with cicadas that sh like the sh just shell that they shed. Oh my God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like in the fall time, they would mold, and the shell of cicadas would be left on the fences, or the wooden fence. Do you know?
Really? I
Oh
don't
my
know what
gosh,
they
you don't know.
are.
Okay, so maybe it's cicadas. So it's a bug. It's an insect, and it would fall off almost like crab. When they fall off their old shell and it comes out, and so their old shell is left on the fence, and it's empty. And I've heard of it, but I've never seen it until this fall, when I did a show. Did a recording, and I went outside and with my recorder, and I saw one, and I just reacted kind of like a girl. And Toppy Smelly, I think, heard it and really liked it.
I remember that. I remember it too, actually.
Well, I have to send you something then, John,
Oh no,
because
don't, you bitch. No. Don't send me like something souvenirs made out of those. Scary.
I'll show it to
Ooh.
you. It is something I just did a Google search, of course.
Oh, is there a link?
Yeah, well, let me find it. I just put it on my desktop. Why can't I find it? There it is. Let's see. There you go.
Oh, you are so mean.
You need to accept it.
Okay. May I decline? Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, if it is a link, I can turn it off. If it's a picture, then I have to...
It is a picture.
Oh god. Okay, let me see.
I'm looking forward to the scream.
I'm not gonna scream. What is it? What is that? What are the cockroaches?
It's cicadas. It's in some kind of bowl.
What? It's like, it looks like a pancake batter. How can I share? It's not that scary, but it's
you
gross.
You screamed, you big girl.
It said images of cicadas, and as it does look like a bowl of pancake batter.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, I thought I was expecting it to be grosser, but
no.
So, here's my fascination is ghost stories. So, I want to hear more. Like, it sounds like both of you have experienced something. Oh, let me share mine. It's not really that exciting, but
I can't wait. My nipples are hard.
Let me squeeze them. And so last week I went downtown Kansas City, and there's this Japanese sushi place. It's really very urban, you know, very modern design, and then the bathroom is downstairs. So I went with this lady coworker of mine, and we always have this conversation. She can feel things, you know, she knows whether or not this space has, you know, dead spirit, blah blah blah. And so I asked her, is there any downstairs? She said, oh yes. So I was, you know, gonna experience it. So and this is like in the middle of the day, like at 12:30 in the afternoon. So I was not scared. I was not, you know, it didn't even feel creepy because I've been to that place before. And so I said, why don't you like teach me, like guide me how to experience it? Because she said that you have to kind of let your guard down. She said that the way that she described to me was as if you are in the rainforest and you want to absorb the nature, you know, like you want to absorb the surrounding, the environment and the energy around you. So you just kind of let your guard down. Don't think too hard and just absorb it. So that's what the direction that she gave me. So she said there's one spot downstairs that has a lot of, like, a concentration of the energy, she said. So I was like, okay, I didn't know what to expect. I've never seen ghosts. I don't know what to expect. So I walked down or worked toward the staircase. And then immediately, as I was approaching the staircase going downstairs, it's like kind of like an L-shaped stair. So one flight down, and then there's a turn, and then you go back down again. I feel this thing that I've been describing it, that it's almost like from the tip of my shoulders all the way up to the back of my neck, like right around the back of my head, that triangle area. I felt this, I don't know what it is. It's just that reaction as if you put your palm right in front of your face without touching, and you feel the heat or the, you know, the presence of a palm right in front of your face, that sort of feeling that you can feel the energy, so you feel a slight heat on your back. That's what I was feeling slightly. So I didn't even know what to expect. So as I was walking down more toward downstairs into the basement, that sort of energy grew stronger. And then there was this one spot as I walked by into the men's restroom, right before the men's restroom. I said, is it here? Is it here? It just went full blast, like boom, like somebody just turned on this energy. And it felt like almost like a numbness. I don't know I don't know what it is, but it's like felt like a numbness on my back. Mm-hmm. I was not scared, but it was very exciting and interesting and weird to me. And I asked her, is it here? She said, yes. And then she started pointing out that the temperature here is a little bit lower than the rest of the basement. That was my first experience. It was very fascinating. I don't want to try it at home because I don't want to feel that if there's something in the house, that would not rest very well with me. So I don't want to have that, I don't want to open up in the area where I have to live.
Right. I remember this one time I was in a dark room, and like you, I just opened myself up, and then I started feeling like it felt like things touching me, and I could like just it felt like fingertips on my skin.
Ew.
And then
you came.
I was in the back room of a bar, and it was dark.
Okay, that's a very different type of ghost story. you know, truthfully, what scares me is not all of this sort of supernatural stuff. People scare me.
Oh, people scare me much more, yes.
You know what? Yes, that is so true. In fact, I right before the show, I talked to VV about this, is, you know, go out and vote. Next Tuesday, when is it? Next Tuesday? Go out and vote. If you don't,
especially if you're in California, vote against Meg Whitman. She
is scary, right? She's worse than ghosts. And there's so many of the same type, you know, all around the country right now.
Meg Whitman, the Antichrist.
I know.
Wait. Oh, please don't insult the Antichrist.
I know, right?
Satan would be offended.
I know. So the and I think so like with the movies and everything, what is for both of you guys? What's your and actually the folks in the chat room? What's your most what's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Scariest movie? Exorcist? That's scary for me. It's like it's stuck on my anyway, because I have not my personal experience, but my brother-in-law and my experience similar things.
Okay, no, I agree. I mean, The Exorcist was a scary movie.
Somebody say The Ring.
Somebody said The Ring. The birds. Yeah. And you know the interesting thing is I think this is the dreaded Saw again. I think every movie is sort of it's scary in the moment until the next bigger and badder thing comes.
Yeah,
out,
that's what I'm thinking of right now. I can't think of anything that even to this day I'd go, oh god, that would scare me again if I saw it. It was at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, and for me, it's the reality movies. It's the the Blair Witch and the Paranormal Activity.
Yeah,
the ones that look like they're fucking real.
Yeah, it toys with you. It's stuck with you too, right? After you leave the theater, it sucks. It's just sticks with you all the time, and everywhere you go, you feel like something's gonna happen.
And the thing is, Paranormal Activity would be the scariest thing I'd ever seen if they hadn't explained so much.
Yeah.
I did not need to know it was a demon. You know, just leave it. It's something. If you leave it as it's something, that's going to fuck with me much more than it's a demon. Okay, well, now you've given it a name. Now now my mind is starting to go, well, what do I consider a demon? But Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity. I'm really looking forward to seeing Paranormal Activity too. Just because it has, again, that real life look to it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe that's the same thing that you were talking about. I felt like it's too real and too clear and too obvious that made it not so scary for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I see. Like, I didn't see any of those movies. I mean, I didn't see Blair Witch Project.
That scared the hell out of me too.
I've avoided the Saw series. What was the other one?
The Blair Bitch Project.
I'm going to the movies tonight for a great horror movie.
Ooh, what is it?
Well, tonight is another live Riff Tracks. If you haven't heard about this, it's the guys who did Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they broadcast it live through various movie houses.
Oh, I see.
And
wow.
It's tonight at 8. And they're doing one of my favorites, and Auntie Vera Charles will love me for this. The original House on a Haunted Hill with Vincent Price.
Ooh.
Wow.
Vincent Price, of course, is my idol. He is my favorite actor of all time. And to get to see this, and then, of course, get the MST3K guys making fun of it. I'm just looking forward to it tonight.
Sounds like fun.
I have Vincent Price's laugh here somewhere, but of course it's not feeding into the
because I'm hosting the show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Rodan's laugh? It's about the same.
No, you might be able to hear it if I play it, though. Let's see.
Hey, let me crank up the echo and do your creepy laugh. Both of you, one at a time. Seder 69, go first. That was good. You gotta have to listen to the live show. I mean, the recording of this live show. By the way, you're listening to this on Pride48.com as well. And Vivi, go, your turn. Very good as well.
And here's the master himself, if you can hear it.
Who, me? Yes.
Taken right from Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Exactly.
Sorry, folks. What's... That's the best I can do for that audio.
Some people claim that my normal laugh is scary enough that I don't have to do anything special.
Well, your scream is frightening.
Oh, no. I now remember the scariest, most frightening movie I've ever seen.
What?
Showgirls.
Oh, my God.
That is too funny.
Zero, oy. No Theater Blood is my number one movie of all time.
Uh-huh.
If you haven't seen Theater Blood with Vincent Price, rent it, own it, love it, adore it.
Well, the last night's Glee was pretty frightening.
Oh, what's it? Don't tell me. I haven't seen it yet.
There's so much wrong with that show.
I think I saw you at Sater69's tweet. You actually didn't mind it. Yeah.
I enjoyed it because they explained all the changes well enough for me. You know, when I first heard the music last week, they released it last week, I was kind of pissed off at some of the word changes.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they explained it in context of the show, I'm like, okay, I'll buy that. I'll accept that. It's fine.
Sure.
Good. I haven't watched it. I have my hands on my headphones. If you say something that's going to ruin it for me, I'm going to just take my headphones out and let you
Stevie
guys talk.
Is not buying it at
la,
all.
La, 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 la.
I actually had to watch it online because I missed it when it was airing.
I DVR'd it.
Mm.
All I care about was the miles and miles of abs. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. I saw your tweet. Yeah.
That was nice.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I was going back and forth with, I don't know if you know the person on Twitter, Yankee Foxtrot.
No.
Yeah. I think she's a friend of Drew Ragey. So we were going back and forth about Mr. Schuster and the lovely Cord Overstreet or whatever his name is.
Cord Overstreet, my future ex-boyfriend.
Your future ex-boyfriend?
Yeah. My future ex-boyfriend, yep.
Did you like the? And let's not give too much away for John, but did you like the line he said when he was protesting about his gold lamé shorts?
That he's afraid there's going to be nuttage.
Yeah, and I was like, well, that stuff gets on TV, that's fine, but they had to do all these extensive edits to the wording for the show.
Where
you know, I have to say something that back in the day, back when I was like from 18 to 20. I used to do the Rocky Horror Show every Saturday night at our local theater. And back then, that's before I was chubby, I actually played Rocky with my blonde hair and my gold Speedos. And I got laid every week.
Wow.
And
I
officially
attribute that
hate
to the Impaler, really. Exactly.
There you go.
That's probably more like it, right?
Mm-hmm. It has a longer feel.
I got a longer feel for you.
So, some folks have come and gone from the chat room. I don't know if we want to like look at the list and see if there's anybody new that we want to say hello to.
Casper is new.
With all the new names.
Bat well, Byron's new.
Casper was Whitey.
Oh, okay. Hush? Oh, I think Hush is one of my listeners, probably. Hush, yeah. Are you from Singapore? Hello, good morning, Hush. Hush is from Singapore.
Excellent.
Welcome, Hush.
And we have Frank and Nessa.
I love Terror of the Dead.
Terror of the Dead. Isn't that great? And Brother Sinatus has joined us. And I'm not sure who Michael Myers will see, whatever
we'll
that is.
See.
We'll cut a bitch.
Is it will cut you or something? Or cut a bitch?
No,
okay.
Michael Myers will cut a bitch.
Oh.
Okay. It was cut off on my screen. So.
Well, gentlemen, I need to get going at this point because it's almost 6 o'clock, which means it's time for this week's episode of Project Runway.
All right. So, well, it's time to wrap up, too. But thank you for stopping by and share your scary story.
Well, thank you
story.
For having me.
Our pleasure.
Yet.
I will have you soon, and you can you can talk about your Impaler more then on online.
Well, you can talk about the Impaler more, but it's rude to talk with your mouth full.
Okay. Well, no, thank you very much, Sater 69.
You all have a happy Halloween.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
Bye bye.
Take care.
Bye. So, what do you want to talk about now? It's 54 minutes.
54. I can't.
We survived.
Even believe that.
We did.
Is there
anything, you know, being, you know, technically your first show? Is there anything that you want to say or you want to talk about before we go?
I hope people will vote on November 2nd. I think we've mentioned that on a number of occasions. I saw this interesting commercial the other day, and of course I have no idea, you know, who put it together, but it showed like all of the crazy people, you know, the Tea Party folks and all that other stuff, and they're like, these people are voting, and they hope you don't. And it just went through a series of different images, you know, like the Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and all of that. And it's basically about they're voting, they hope you don't, and if you don't, then they win.
Exactly.
And then it's worse for all of us. And I think what strikes me the most, particularly with Americans in politics, is that you know, we seem to have this, and when I say we, I don't mean just all of us in the chat room, but I think everyone collectively, all of the United States, we seem to have this incredibly short attention span and an equally short memory, and probably likewise in the patience department.
Yep,
You know, it's Barack Obama is not going to solve all of the problems that have happened during the 8 years of George Bush in one term. It's unlikely that he's going to solve it in two terms.
Exactly.
And it may very well mean, hopefully, a third and fourth instance of Democratic leadership to sort of to right this ship, basically. And getting frustrated at the Democrats now, as incredibly screwed up as the Congress can be, and really have a lot of inaction in those two houses. It's so important not to lose faith with the leadership of this country right now, because you know some things are changing, and you know I worry that the LGBT community is also sort of factoring into all of that, like the sensationalism around Obama and what he's failed to do for us, or the slower than desirable pace that he's working at. And I honestly think that, well, two things. I think either Obama really truly believed his campaign promises, and that he was going to march into Washington and affect all kinds of change at all different levels. And if that's the case, then he was very naive. Or it was nothing more than it was his political message so that he could get elected. And that change is a slow, steady process. So I just hope that people will not give up. I mean, I actually tweeted something a while back that Teaching Thomas had quoted in his latest, is it Going Coastal, is his podcast. So episode 5 of Going Coastal. And I'm trying to remember the words I used, was that essentially what it boiled down to was that if we give up on the Democrats and that we were only fooling and screwing ourselves, that this is not all about Don't Ask, Don't Tell and DOMA. There's so many other issues facing this country.
Right, and exactly, and even if you think that it is those matters, those two things that's very important for our community, if you whatever Obama didn't do, do you really think by not voting and letting the Republicans win would actually help these two issues? No way, girl. And so I think it's frustrating, and it's very easy to take out from your anger, which is exactly what the Tea Partiers and the Republicans are utilizing really right now, is to create that sort of frustration, utilizing the economy, atmosphere, and everything to make you feel frustrated so you don't go out and vote, and therefore they win. That would be unfortunate.
Right, because there's huge value in disenfranchising the voters, because if you disenfranchise them, you get them to stay home, and then it's easier to push your agenda through. There's a wonderful website out there. It's called Left Media, I believe it's called, New Left Media. And during the there was something early on, this is months and months ago, when they were talking about all the death panels and all of that stuff. And they were going around interviewing some of these the people that have since become identified with the Tea Party. And they'd ask them things like, well, where in the Constitution does it say this? Or where here does it say that? And none of these individuals could provide any kind of coherent message. But these are all the Glenn Beck followers, and this is where they get their news from yeah. Fox News.
It's all fear and emotion
yeah.
driven.
Yeah. So we've effectively taken a Halloween-themed show and spun it around.
It is very spooky and scary. If you don't vote, if the Tea Partiers and the Republicans win, we're screwed.
So there's your connection.
It is very scary if you don't. So go out and vote. I don't believe in the two-party system myself personally. But if given this current situation, I think you should still vote for one that's not going to screw you even more.
Right. You know, like here in my home state, the incumbent Democratic governor and is being challenged by a former Democrat that's now running as an independent, who doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of getting elected. And the other one is a Republican. And we had prior to this governor, we had 16 years of Republican leadership, mm-hmm. In a state that has historically been mostly Democratic, or at least during my lifetime. And the GOP opponent is someone who was previously a state employee and was involved in a rather large construction project that had millions, if not billions, of dollars in cost overruns. And all of this money was, obviously dumped onto the backs of the taxpayers, all of this debt. They siphoned off money from other road projects for this one construction program. And then this same person is blasting the governor for things that, that when he was a state employee, he would have been responsible for. And he's so anti-union and anti-state employee and all of this other stuff. So he's really, truly just a hypocrite all around. And then when he went on from being a state employee to work for one of the largest insurers in the country, or at least in the state, and allegedly increased premiums on working class families almost 150%. So, this person is not for the average voter, is not for the average worker out there. And I think people tend to forget that too quickly.
Yeah. Short attention span. Typical exactly. American. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like saying, it's like, okay, well, Jesus, you didn't grant my wish, so I'm going to vote for the devil instead. what's the lesser of two evils? That's really the thing.
Yeah, really.
And what's going to yield the greatest positive outcome for people? Not necessarily tomorrow, not a week from now, maybe not 3 years from now, but let's not turn back the hands of time and let the GOP undo everything that we've accomplished.
Right. And again, one more thing that I want to mention is the whole idea that they want small government. If it is indeed small government and the people actually get the power, that's one thing. But small mm-hmm. government and corporation get big power, that's horrible. That's what we're facing right now. So right. don't really get not, fooled.
Right. Because it's really not small government. It's just the shifting of the power.
Yep.
To the
rich, to the money.
Right. Right. And I really wish at some point there was some kind of, truth in political advertising kind of law, that they would have to be, that everything has to be factual and checked and all of this other stuff, and not all of this political spinning bullshit that's out there all the time that really just turns people off. And then people don't go and vote because they're so overwhelmed by all of these conflicting messages.
Yep.
I mean,
God, I lost my train of thought. You said something about, what is the last thing you said?
The big corporation.
Yes, yes. Okay. Small government. When I look at the GOP and I say, what does small government mean to me? It might mean less taxes, but it also means less revenue for programs that we rely on each and every day. It also means that your roads won't be fixed. It also means that your other taxes and fees will go up because there's no way to balance that. And people think, oh, you know, I think was it a couple of years back when people voted for some kind of a tax relief in this state, and they got it. You know, these families got like $1,200 in a, you know, returned back to them in their income, and single people got maybe $500 or $600. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, that money goes by in a blink of an eye. You know, some people that's less than a mortgage payment. Or it's less than the car payment for their SUVs, you know, or their fancy imports that they drive around in, you know. And so what were you really saving? And then when their kids go to school and then the parents find out that the kids don't have supplies for their art classes, or the parents have to pay extra for the extracurricular activity, or the sports programs have been cut, and they can't take that information and relate it back to their actions in the voting booth. And that's just it's a huge problem.
Yep. It's just like, you know, you want tax cut, but you want everything paid, and it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. I mean, the adage is you can't have your cake and eat it too for nothing. Yeah. There's a definite reason why.
Yeah. It may sound good. It may sound good, like if you have cakes and lose weight, and that's not going to happen, girl.
Yeah, there's no free lunch in government, you know. I mean, well, I guess in government,
of anything.
There are plenty of free lunches for government for government people, but there's no free lunch for the electorate, if you will.
Right.
You know.
So
we go ahead.
Yeah, Vivi, I want to. Well, when we wrap up, I'm gonna. This is one exercise that you have to train yourself to do as a budding podcaster is I'm gonna play your music in the background, and you'll hear it. You might actually hear it a little louder than most of the listeners would, because I'm gonna turn it down and see if we can wrap up with the things that you want to say, where to find your podcast, how to leave feedback, and how do they get in touch with you, how do they follow you on Twitter and such. So go ahead and start that, and I'm gonna play there, and you have to say it enough, you have to say it fast enough, whatever time, right, so that you, by the time your theme song is done, you will be done. That's a test.
I think it's like 30 seconds.
Okay, so yeah, I gotta do that, wrap that up in 30 seconds. And thank you, all the live listeners.
Yes.
Thank you so much for stopping by and listen to Vivi's show.
Yeah.
You haven't mentioned your show name enough.
I know. I'll get better at it.
Okay, Veritable Voices is the name of the show.
If there's ever an episode two.
sometime in the next year, there'll be show number two. So go ahead, do the test.
Okay, folks, thank you for listening. This is episode one of Veritable Voices, and you can reach me at veritablevirgo@gmail.com. Listener line 774-955-0703, and catch me on Twitter at @veritable_virgo. Thanks again.
Wow, that's it. Wow, you have 10 more seconds.
No.
And I'm John Ong, and listen to me on onlinepodcast.com. I'll probably post a show on there too. So thanks for joining us, bitches. Bye.
Thank you. Good night.